wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome to the Gridiron Guys, your home of the NFL in Australia. We are back for another episode recapping week 14 and previewing week 15. So a little bit drunk, just back from my work Christmas party, a little bit lubricated, but that's all right. I got my Big Mac, I've got my thing, I'm ready to go. Now, you may notice we are a little bit late, but that is because everyone's favourite commentator, Cameron, has just welcomed his newborn into the world, so we definitely congratulate him. So he's a little bit preoccupied, but, you know, can you blame him? So we all credit him to young little Luca, who has come. He's going to be an absolute barnstormer, apparently. He's got absolutely no hamstrings, considering his dad had none, but hopefully his shoulders are pretty good so he can throw a few darts, but, you know, so he'll be right. Look, it's just going to be me this next probably half an hour or so, just dribbling to you guys, but look, hopefully I'm lubricated enough. As I said, I've had a few Cosmos and Mai Tais and stuff this arvo after my Chrissy party, look, I think we're just going to see what happens, hey, really? So I suppose we'll get into it, really. Week 14. Damn. Well, actually, no, sorry. Breaking news. Jesus Christ. The biggest one was the Demaryius Thomas, you know, rest in peace, number 88, found dead in his home. Look, I cannot say how much he meant to me, as especially myself, as like a Broncos supporter. Like, I love the man. Like, he was downright amazing. Like, those years when he got drafted, he basically led the renaissance that was the Broncos wide receiver core back in the day. Like, that used to be an absolute laughing stock, and then he came along and he basically made all those quarterbacks before Peyton fucking realistic. Like, that Tebow to him pass in the playoffs against the Steelers was all him. Like, you know, Tebow just threw a slant pass, like, and he just literally won the game. And unfortunately, we weren't able to go any further, but, you know. But the fact was that he made it on his own, and he built that thing. And then you added guys like Julian Thomas and Wes Welker and those over the years, and Peyton Manning. And that's when he became that Super Bowl hero. And unfortunately, he was traded off. I think he went to the Texans for a bit and maybe someone else. I can't quite remember off the top of my head quite now. But he was a Bronco through and through. He basically would have been a one-club man had it not been for circumstances. And, you know, it was what it was. And, look, we, you know, hopefully they retire his jersey or something, because, God damn it, he literally made the wide receiver role his own while he was there. So, you know, loved him to bits and cannot believe this has happened at such a young age. As you said, I think he's about 33, 34 or something like that. Like, it's just so disappointing and just very unfortunate. And our thoughts are with his family and all those sorts of things. So, but yeah, he made a massive impact on all of us. And I know many of you who are listening probably have fond memories of him and those sorts of things. So, but yeah, anyways, I think we should get back into the week 14 recap. The big one was the Vikings versus Steelers game that started off the week. Dude, that was a crazy game. Like, the Vikings absolutely dominated the whole, like, literally like three quarters of the game. And then the Steelers suddenly, like, picked up to life and almost came away with it, really. And I think it shouldn't come down to this, but Chase Claypool, he celebrated a first down while the clock was running in the last minute. And, like, look, I know there's all the old guys who are like, oh, you know, don't do TikToks or whatever. Oh, it's not cool. You're a football player. Be tough. And, you know, I get that. Show some emotion. It's okay. No one's blaming you for showing emotion, but, like, when the clock's running, get the ball to the fucking ump. Like, you see all these other teams, they're like trying to run the ball to the ump so they can get a snap off to do, whether it's like a, you know, stop the clock or, you know, just do a quick audible or whatever. And, you know, it doesn't help his reputation considering he's had the old issues with the Corvette and all that sort of rubbish. And he's sitting there, like, celebrating first down. It's like, bro, there's like 40 seconds literally there to win the game. And you're, like, trying to celebrate and take up at least 5 seconds. And then because, you know, you can't put the ball on the ground because the other team is obviously going to kick it away and cause drama. And they're well within their right. Like, it's not, I don't think it's shitty when you, it's not kosher, but it's definitely gamesmanship. Like, you know, if you were in the same position, you probably would kick the ball away or something, or make it a little bit harder, you know, just to waste 3-4 seconds. It's not much. But in the grand scheme of things, when you're looking at this game, it's enough. And I think that last pass to, I think it was Pratt Freiermuth. Freiermuth shouldn't hang his head there, because fuck me dead, that was a dart. Like, I don't know how Big Ben managed to squeeze that in. There was at least 3 defenders there, and he put it in Freiermuth's hands, and sure, it was a catchable ball. But holy shit, like, as soon as he touched it, there was 2 guys belting him and 1 other guy punching the nut. Like, even the Armour Guard guys redoing the ATMs would have had trouble, like, restocking that. Like, come on. Like, if you're Freiermuth, you can't be sad with that attempt. Like, that was a good attempt, and it was just unfortunate, and it just didn't go your way at the end of the day. Like, you know, at the flip of a coin, it just didn't work out. So, but good on the Vikings. I think, what do they move to? They're like 6-7 now. So I think in their playoff picture, they're not really much of a chance, because obviously you've got the Packers in your division, so you're not going to win that. But looking at in the hunt, yeah, they definitely are. So that was a good win by them. And obviously the Steelers have been rolling the past couple of weeks, so good by them. You move on to the week. Dude, Ravens v. Browns. Holy shit, huge game. Crazy, you know, like, Lamar went down early and Browns got up. And you thought, these guys are dead. But holy shit, Huntley. He put on a fucking performance, hey. Like, that was wild. Like, I know, like literally, I don't even know if he got through 1 quarter before doing his ankle. But again, he was just elusive as hell and stuff. But, like, Huntley came out and did, he played football like he wasn't supposed to. Like, he just was not supposed to do what he did. And he came out and he threw some absolute clutch throws to, like, Bateman and Andrews and that. Like, Rashad Bateman, I said, like, he, if you wanted a dark horse for rookie, like, if he wasn't injured, he's been outstanding. Like, you look at that, like, 7 catches out of 8 targets, 103 yards, dude. And you saw some of the ones on the sideline, like, fuck me, dude, that kid, that Batman kid is going to be good. But look, Browns did enough. I think the biggest thing from what I saw from the Browns was that, like, again, as much as they put up a good lead and they defended it, and, like, to their credit, they defended it well, and, you know, against the backup quarterback, sure, whatever, you know, do your thing. But what I saw from the Browns was the fact that they, like, cannot close a game. Like, the fact that you get up, like, what was it, like, 20-odd points in the first half, and then, 24 points in this first half, then don't score a single point in the second half while you're playing against the backup quarterback. This is just not going to win you championships. Like, you cannot rest on your laurels like that. You have got to be a team where you put your foot on the throat and you keep pressing. Like, you cannot just be like, all right, there goes 30 points, that should win us the game. And you're like, don't turn up for the second half. Like, it's just mind-boggling, because the fact of the matter is, like, Huntley was so good that game, and, like, they almost lost. But imagine if they had Lamar that whole game. Browns would have been a non-event. Like, the fact that you don't even turn up for the second half and don't do anything. Granted, their defense was great. don't take anything away from that, because fuck me, their defense was like up clutch at the end, like those fourth downs or whatever in the fourth quarter, schmick. But Baker Mayfield proving again that he cannot convert on the big tries, and I think that's going to be their biggest worrying issue. And unfortunately tonight, I was going to try and get Meikle on, but he hasn't replied to me, so we're not going to get him on. But he probably would have trashed the Browns, and you know how it is. I think a couple other games to look at: Raiders v Chiefs. Like, Christ me dead, Raiders. I don't know why at the start of the game they thought it was a good idea to, I don't know, dance on the Chiefs logo or whatever, but it didn't work out for them. They lost 48-9, for Christ's sake. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, what do people think they're doing, like, when they're jumping on someone else's logo? Like, if you can honestly message in and let me know and say, okay, this is the psyche behind maybe standing on someone's logo, you know, we might get the mental edge or whatever, but, like, holy shit, like, you get belted 48-9 in an interdivisional matchup. I don't want to know about it, hey, like, whatever. Another big matchup, Cowboys v. Washington. I think, again, as much as the Cowboys, like, delivered, and it was their defense that delivered, and holy shit, Micah Parsons, that kid, like, we're talking about him as rookie. He may also be Defensive Player of the Year as well. Like, and I think this is the first time in a while that someone may actually get Defensive Player of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like, he is just eating sacks. Like, it is so ridiculous. But the fact is, the fact that the Cowboys shouldn't have even been in that position at all. Like, Heinicke did a serviceable job, 100-odd yards, one TD, one interception. Like, he's keeping them in games, but the fact of the matter is Dallas shouldn't have been anywhere close to them, because they're like, Mike Parsons, the defense, like, just smothered Washington. So Prescott and Elliott are still, like, they're just, I don't know, it's just not clicking. It's just not working. And you're looking at essentially what is, like, the best front seven, front six, front seven in the whole league that should be able to provide one of the best run games for one of, you know, the best running backs in the league. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, like, credit to him, he should be, lo and behold, one of the better guys. You know, he's easily in the top 10, could, you know, realistically on his best day be a top 5 running back in the league. But here we are, he's not even top 50 yards against a stingy Washington defense. And I don't know. Like, the Cowboys will win their division 100%. But my issue with them is they cannot convert on the big plays. Like, their defense is going to bring them a lot further than what they need to be. And their offense just cannot convert. I don't know, it was a couple other games. So you're looking at things like, fucking, the Jacob is a fucking mess at the moment. Dude, Giants vs. Chargers, holy shit, Justin Herbert is that guy. Like, he's just so sexy. Like, I think that throw that he threw a touchdown for was one of the longest throws for the year, minus Hail Marys, but he was getting tackled while he did it. So, dude, this guy's clearly shown that he is the, I think it's not too early to say that he will be the number one player of the next generation of QBs. Like, you're talking about, like, Joe Burrow, him, you know, even like Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance and all that. I think that Justin Herbert is going to be that leader of that next guy. So he's just, I don't know, like, you just watch him, he's got that old school feel about him. Like, you just watch him, you just go, damn, this guy knows what he's doing. He's not taking any risks, and that's fine, he doesn't have to take risks, but you're watching him and you're going, wow, this guy is dropping in the right spots, he can take the pressure when it comes onto him, and he just loves standing in the pocket and just copping it, eh? Like, he just enjoys it. So tough to see them get a win, because obviously the AFC West is stacked at the moment, but Good to see him playing well. So naturally moving on to the Broncos, they smoked Detroit 38-10. That's all in the ground game, man. Like, you talk about Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams starting again. Like, he ran, like, well, I mean, he only ran, like, 15 times for 73 yards. But you look at Melvin Gordon, he ran 24 times for 111 yards and he got two TDs. So between the three of them, two of them, they got three TDs. Teddy Bridgewater dropped back and threw a couple. But they just roasted Detroit. And I think the emotion was probably there that they all did it. So that was good to see. Really appreciate it. Big overtime games, probably with the 49ers, Bengals, and the Bills, Buccaneers. If I will say something about the Bills, Buccaneers, look, the Bills should not have been in it at all, because the fact of the matter is that all first quarter, again, it was another of the fucking, like, absolute dicking. Like, the Buccaneers were all over the Bills, and they just, like, it was a bit of too little too late. So, okay, sure. They throw a overtime TD to Breshad Perriman and you don't get a return of serve. But to be honest, you shouldn't have been in the fight in the first place, because you took too long to, you know, want to score points. It was like fucking the late in the second quarter before you kicked a field goal, let alone, like, convert any third downs and that. So I think especially the Bills are worrying, because New England with Mac have managed to have a quite decent season. And if you're going to put down games like that, you're not, let alone are you not going to win your division, but you may also miss out on a wild card spot in a very top-heavy AFC. Which I think they're starting to realise. Sorry, I'm just eating chips because I got Macca's on the way home from my work Christmas party. So I mentioned my work Christmas party. I won't mention it too much, but holy shit. I swear to God. When it is like geriatric place, it's literally like, I don't know, some, it's called the Red Room. It's like literally like seniors lunch or whatever. I was like, oh my God, do we need to keep going to these places? But anyways, then we went to rooftop bar and went to someone else's, crashed someone else's Christmas party. I didn't realize I got onto the bar tab. So I got a few drinks. Anyways, as I said, 49ers beat Bengals in an overtime game. And probably the big one was the Packers beat the Bears. I think Packers, interesting thing with them is they are allowing a lot of TDs and a lot of stuff. You know, Justin Fields, like, he threw, like, two interceptions or whatever, and, you know, not ideal. But the Packers' defense still had 30 points, so it's pretty rough for them. So, you know, they'll be there near the end, but it'll be their defense. Because, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers throwing four touchdowns and shit, he still fucking belted the cunts. Rams beat the Cardinals 30-23. I think it's pretty much fair enough scoreline. Like, you couldn't expect to go too many ways. It was obviously going to be close. This is quite a divisional matchup. All right, I'm going to move on to some awards this week. Just going to do it myself. I had a couple here. So a big one was my rookie of the week, rookie watch. I had Quinn Miners. So he was a pickup for the Denver Broncos on the offensive line. He came from a D3 college and he's literally balled out. I think we talked about him in an earlier podcast. He was like training in like the forest and stuff on trees and stuff. It was sick. You got to watch it on YouTube to get that Quinn Miners. So he started getting regular reps about a couple of weeks ago. I think someone got injured. And basically this week he just dominated against the Lions. Like, that was super shit, but he just dominated and he pitched a shutout with zero losses in the pass protection, and he basically helped set the standard, as I said, for an outstanding run game. So he had a big one. He's my rookie watch. Unfortunately, I haven't done enough research to do a second one, so there will be no vote on Instagram. This will just be probably as it is, yeah. I think my flying, as I said, bro, the tributes for 88, Demaryius Thomas. Dude, that was huge. So, as mentioned before, unfortunately, Demaryius Thomas found dead, 33, I think it was. Really unfortunate medical emergency. So, obviously, the Broncos went all out. You know, there was all sorts of alma mater and that. Peyton Manning was there to pay respects. And it was just super beautiful. And the fact that they started the game playing with 10 on the field, and not playing a player in his position, and the Lions declining the penalty, was awesome. And they managed to score an 88-yard play at the end, so it was just Look, it was just fate almost. So that was beautiful. In my dying, I think I'm going to look towards the Jaguars and Urban Meyer. It's looking pretty grim over there, to be honest. Like, I think he's about to get fired, to be honest. And probably, actually, now that I look at Instagram, he's basically been fired. I think TND Takeover, if everyone's seen it. Urban Meyer's been officially fired by Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, it's been a fucking rough ride. Like, 2-11. No one seems to gel. He had that issue where he was grinding up against that girl. He benched, like, the static running back, which Trevor Lawrence came out and said was the wrong play, which, I mean, when you're a guy like Trevor Lawrence, okay, you're a first-round pick, but you're really playing poorly, and you're coming out and saying that your coach is making the wrong plays, I think that speaks volumes. There's been a couple of guys that have come out. There was a previous kicker that came out and said that he was just being an absolute dick to him as well. He was just awful. And, like, just, there's so many stories of this popping up. Like, I'm just trying to look on my Instagram. I think I saved one as it rolls up. God damn, my Wi-Fi is awful. But, yeah, so, I mean, and especially you look at the Jags. Like, he hasn't done too badly at the Jags. He's done awful, but, like, Jags are looking to miss the playoffs for the 13th time in 14th season. And that one season, they managed to go to the AFC Championship for some god-known reason. But, like, you know, they're just, look, it's just a basket case. And by the sounds of it, like, Urban Meyer's not made for the pro game. I don't even know if he was made for the college game, to be honest, because he's a bit of a dick. But he definitely didn't mix with the pro game. I mean, maybe the college game because you can potentially haze people. So I don't know. I'm not there. But maybe he didn't have much to do with people. But the fact that he was a head coach and he was so much more involved now in the pro game, it's just a fucking debacle, really. So they're dying this week. I think now what I want to do is we want to look at our team of the year. Now, I've just got my offensive player of the year. So what I've got is I've got our boy George Kittle this week. So let me just get up the stats. Jesus. So George Kittle had a ridiculous game this week. So he's taking on the incumbent Travis Kelce. So his game this week, he had 13 receptions, one touchdown for 151 yards. It's fucking wild. So his stats this year, which are going to go up against Kelce, he's got 57 receptions, 757 yards, 6 touchdowns, and an average of 13.3 yards. So let me just get up Kittle's. Excuse me. Oh, no, sorry. Not Kittle's. What am I getting up? Yeah, Kelce. Apologies. I'm a little bit blind while we're doing this. So Travis Kelce has 73 receptions for 875 yards, 5 touchdowns, and an average of 12 yards. So I will talk to Cameron about putting that up on the socials. Otherwise, you might just have to make that decision in your head. But I think this will be, like, there's no other tight end in the league, two tight ends. Like, it's literally a two-horse race. You think Kelce and Kittle. I don't think anyone else has a thought about anyone else being closer. So, you know, this is probably one that should be done towards the end of the year, but just thought I'd bring it up now because our boy Kittle, he's had a great game and, you know, could be worth a shout for this week. So, especially when probably not doing too much on the socials. You might not even hear this episode, to be honest, because I'm sitting here, it's like 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday. I'm super blind. No one else is talking, so. But it's good. So, anyways, I think that's our awards for the week. And let's get, on to week 15. So, starting off is actually a pretty good game. On Friday night, Thursday Night Football, is the Chargers are hosting the Chiefs. Now, this is a pretty even spread at the moment. Chiefs just lead at 51.3% on the ESPN matchup predictor. I mean, you've got two guys, Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. I think, like, Mahomes, you look at him and he's an absolute freak. Like, And the worst part about it is everyone goes like, oh, because the media frubs him up or whatever. And yeah, sure, he does some sick stuff. But Justin Herbert is that next man up. He is literally... So if you're talking about like next generation, you've got Patrick Mahomes. He's like, I don't know, whatever, mid-20s or something. Justin Herbert is that next echelon down. And he is going to be like the messiah of the next generation, I think. Like when you're talking about Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew, you know, all those guys. So they're unreal. I think probably the biggest thing is the run game. Like you've got four Chargers. Austin Eckler is an absolute beast. Whereas on the Chiefs side, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's probably not as similar. Like Clyde is... Don't get me wrong, a great guy, but you sort of look at his carries. He's got about 100 carries, 455 yards, and Eckler sits at 160 carries for 730 yards, so he's clearly getting through a lot more work. But on the flip side, Hill versus Allen are pretty similar, so I don't know. But I think, like, look, you look at Chargers, they've got, like, Allen, Williams, and potentially Eckler that runs out of the backfield too. So he's got a lot more, and I think the Chargers' defense has been quite solid lately, so I think they could potentially rack up a bit on Mahomes. I don't know which way this will go. I can't remember what I even sent to Cam for my pick'em, but possibly the Chargers with the home advantage here, I suppose. Then we move on to Raiders-Browns. I think this is going to be interesting because the Browns have a lot of guys in COVID protocols. Like, I'm pretty sure even maybe Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, a few other guys. Don't quote me on that, but this could give the Raiders the edge, and at sitting at 6-7, this could give them a real shot at coming a 7-7 and really tying up that sort of AFC West, trying to keep up with the top, especially if, say, the Chargers or the Chiefs drop a game there. You know, say if Chargers drop a game there, they go 8-6, you know, you jump up to the 7-7 as the Raiders. You want to keep in spot for that playoff spot, so it's a tight one there. Couple others, Bengals v Broncos, that could be tight, 7-6 each. I think the Broncos are favoured in this one. Hopefully my boys Teddy Bridgewater, he comes away. I think the biggest thing is with the Bengals, Joe Mixon has been an absolute beast lately. Like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, don't get me wrong, they have been electric, their link up is outstanding, but Joe Mixon has been the absolute key to the Bengals lately. So if we get our great defence down on Mixon, I think if we quiet him out, we should be able to roll over them. Teddy Bridgewater should be able to complete a bit and just, like, fucking roll this shit. I mean, you look at him, like, Burrow's good. Burrow's so good. But if you're able to put the pressure on him, you can see that he folds over like a fucking candy cane. Like, what's this shit? Like, fucking Chubb's going to fucking roll this idiot. Simmons going to pick him off like a fucking numpty. A couple others, Jets v. Dolphins. Dolphins should roll them. Dude, they're on a massive hot streak at the moment. Don't doubt Tua Tagovailoa. Like, this kid is the fucking legitness. As I said, next generation, Justin Herbert, next down, Tua. This guy, and especially when considering, like, he's had a fucking heap of injuries on his line out. Oh, it's tough, Ian, but the Jets, they should roll them. Like, I'm pretty sure Wilson is playing, and he's just fucking throwing that many interceptions, so... Yeah, another big one, Cowboys v. Giants. I think if Cowboys win this, they should pretty much wrap up their division, you'd think, because they take down another division rival. I'm not sure if Jones is back or whether the long neck is there, the draft. Either way, it doesn't really matter. The issue will be on Cowboys' line, as I said. Like, they have one of the best lines for run blocking, and they just cannot get run out. And I think that's... I don't know whether that's more an issue for their line or more for Elliott. But the fact is, Pollard comes in and he dominates. So you almost want to say, like, Elliott, bro, like, you got to fucking stop eating that soup and just fucking get your head screwed on straight. Couple of others. Seahawks versus Rams could be a bit of a tight run. I think Stafford's been playing out of his mind lately. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, 33 touchdowns for 9 interceptions. Crazy. And you look at that OBJ connection that he's got rolling. OBJ, I think he's scored in, like, the last 3 games. He only scored 3 touchdowns for the whole of his Browns career. Now he's scored in the last 3 weeks. So I think people shouldn't sleep on that, absolutely. Packers v. Ravens could be wild if Lamar is in there. Especially considering both defenses are quite depleted. it could be quite a score fest and it'll just be fucking racking up points. You look at Saints v Bucks, normally should be a fucking crazy game, but Bucks should dominate those idiots. Taysom Hill, look, I like him. I really enjoy him as a quarterback, but I just think that he just cannot make the reads, and I suppose he just doesn't have enough first grade time. So I don't know, like long term, possibly if they gave him a lot of first team reads and things like that, he could potentially make himself into a real quarterback. But I don't know, just at the moment when they're trying to make him a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, like basically a human version of Swiss Army knife, he's never going to get any sort of resemblance of pattern or like settle into any sort of spot. So it's going to be tough for him. Ooh, but Bucks easy there. And then finally, Vikings v Bears. This should be interesting. I think the Vikings should roll this one. I just think Justin Fields, look, he hasn't had a great year. And we're quite aware that he's not up to NFL level at the moment, and that's fine. He's really not made the jump at all. But I think when you're at this point, they're, what are they at, 4-9, they're not making the playoffs. I think you just keep playing him, giving him looks at good secondaries, and he's going to have to learn how to play these guys because, you know, this may not be your ideal franchise quarterback, but he is your franchise quarterback. So I think long term, you've got to give him enough looks at some first grade secondaries and, you know, let him know what he's up for because, you know, he's got a long career ahead of him, to be honest. He will make teams and someone will keep him up. And, you know, the more opportunities you give him, the more he can learn from these. And so if you're sort of saying, okay, fine, we don't need to tank so much per se, I mean, they can, and they can potentially get a decent, like, defensive player or whatever, you know. But keep playing the guy because he's only going to learn from his mistakes. You watch some of the throws he makes and you can see he's clearly, you know, trying to fix them. He can't under pressure, that's fine, but he's trying. So, you know, I think you keep persisting with him and you see what you get over the offseason. So that about wraps it up. I think we had college football over the weekend, Army v Navy, Navy getting over, the unders cashing again. I think it was like the 14th time in a row the unders cashed in the Army v Navy game. So if you're looking about that in the future, look for the unders. As you sort of said, bowl weekend starts this weekend. MTSU versus Toledo, Northern Illinois versus Coastal Carolina. Big fans of Toledo and Coastal Carolina on Saturday. There's a couple on Sunday as well. Fresno State, Jackie Hayner, Heisman Hayner. He's rolling back again with the guys next year. I think the transfer portal is going absolutely nuts, but I'm probably going to leave that till Cam comes back because there's just a lot of guys going everywhere. And I think it is interesting watching these players. Even though, like, a bowl game is like an... It's not like... It's like an unofficial final for some of these guys, but they just don't want to play. So, and I get that. Like, some of them, like Kayvon Thibodeau and all that, it's like they're going to go, like, number one and two in the draft. Like, okay, sure. But for some of these guys, they're just skipping out on these bowl games. And you're sort of thinking, look, why not play for your school that has given you a bit? And yeah, I understand some of these schools absolutely rolled you for money in that, and I get that. But I think, you know, for a chance to go out as a winner, to finish up your semi-professional career, as they may say, you know, it's not your pro career, but to finish up with a win, I think would just personally would be awesome. So it's unfortunate that we may not see some of the better players, but there are a lot of players that are committing to a heap of these teams, and I think it's worth going through. But we'll wait till Cam gets back. So anyways, I think that about wraps us up. You've probably all had enough of my voice. I'm blabbering by now, but I think that should roll us up. We, as I said again, apologies for this week. It's been a little bit tough with Cam and things like that. And I know I'm trying to wrap up work for the end of the year and it's almost Christmas. And, you know, it's just, just one of those times. But anyways, I hope you enjoy this week's potty. I know it was just me. Look, roast me in the comments if you hated it. It's fine. Won't have it happen again. Promise. I'll see if I can drum someone else up next week to maybe break up my voice. All right. Thank you and goodbye.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.